All right.
Oh, sure.
It is time. It's 1:30 p.m. on whatever day this is, January 5th, 2010. And this is North Dakota Public Service Commission meeting for a work session on case number PU07671, which is Basin Electric Power Co-op's application for a corridor certificate and route permit for a 230 kV transmission line from Williston to Tioga. And I assume today we're going to work through the draft findings of fact, conclusions of law, and an order. This is Kevin Kramer along with Tony Clark and Brian Kalk and staff counsel Annette Bendish and lead engineer, public utility analyst on the project, Jerry Lean, from our staff. Any thoughts before we get started by any fellow commissioners, portfolio carrier Tony, or should we work through this draft order?
Let's say just start working on
it. Let's roll.
Let's roll. Okay. Jerry, do you have any thoughts, like, let's throw this out and start over? Or?
Actually, this is pretty much Basin's draft. Annette worked through it somewhat and did some changes here and there. And I had a little bit, but it is pretty much the same order as what was issued for the Stark to Bowman County line.
Does it meet all of our formatting traditions? I was going to say standards, but they're more traditions than they are standards.
We kind of went with another format where we were separating things out a little differently.
Right, that's what I was recalling.
And this one, I didn't go through the time and stuff to change it out of the old format from the proposed findings, mm-hmm. thinking that it was easier to...
Well, it's easier for sure, and it's a pretty straightforward project. Yeah. I mean, there was not a lot of complication to it, as I recall. But.
And the other ones that we did, I think those are all with the wind farms.
Right, yeah. Right.
I think the format for the power line is good this way, where the wind gets a little more...
Yep, more issues.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine with it, too.
Before we started, there was one issue that has kind of come to light with the new law.
The changes to 4922.03.
Is that the footprint law? The mm-hmm. Yeah.
The description of what construction is. And mm-hmm. the language in there, it says that it's not construction, basically, for this chapter, if the activities are within the boundaries of a previously issued certificate or permit. And we were thinking that a previously issued corridor certificate under this language would appear to open up the whole corridor to any additional projects that want to come into it.
Well, and I mean, I hate to say it, but I think that was the intent.
Mm-hmm. And so it brings me to the question of, do we need such wide corridors?
That's a really good question.
I did
six
call.
Miles is a lot of,
yeah.
And I did call Basin yesterday. I talked to Casey and Deb both. They're coming up on Friday to sit down with staff and talk about this. Because this is, I mean, at the time, they filed the letter of intent and even developed this project. They didn't even think about it. And, in fact, Deb said she hadn't really even read the law, you know, thinking about this project. So they were going to look at it, talk to their engineers, and we're going to meet Friday morning and talk to them. Because their intent is not to construct anything else within the corridor, but the law says what it says. And I think we don't want to come up with a precedent so
it's not
restrictive.
About them. It's about the next
right.
Company. That
right. That's yeah. not so restrictive. But we need something that's workable. You know,
isn't it
willing to work with us.
Isn't it ironic, though, that that whole thing leads to a desire on our part to have narrower corridors? I mean, the route permit is one thing. If it was construction within the route permit, you know, which it seems more like a reasonable intent. But if you can do anything within a 6-mile corridor, and I mean that is quite clearly what some at least were arguing for. Maybe not 6 mile, but they were talking, clearly talking corridor, especially with relation to overhead transmission.
Written, could you use a corridor for a transmission facility
to build a power plant?
A generation facility within the corridor?
I think we actually had that discussion. I don't remember what the conclusion was. I think that came up.
You know.
If that's
really not be good.
No, that wouldn't be good.
The way the language was written, it just says certificate or permit. It doesn't specify either one.
This is the problem when legislators say we have to have something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why?
We do have a rule that defines how large a corridor can be, and that's something to think about, too, doing a potential rulemaking and changing that language.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. The other thing, Jerry and me, I don't know if you know, Pat, I think, brought this up once on a recent pipeline issue. Given this law, I mean, maybe what we do is we cite corridors just like routes. We just have a higher standard. Say, look, you know, if we're going to subject this 1 mile or, yeah, right. We're going to subject this 1 or 6 miles.
At the same time.
Well, that's right. That's right. Then you'd better be walking. You'd better be doing a eyeball, cultural resource inventory on all 6 miles if this is going to be subject to future development without further sighting.
It's kind of got to be one or the other. Either we tighten it down real small, or else they open up what they survey to include every bit of land inside that initial corridor site.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one or the, but it's got to be one or the other, right? Because otherwise, we wouldn't give the right scrutiny.
Can we even laterally do that? Just narrow down the corridor to.
That's what I'm wondering.
One and the same as the route.
Yeah, because the way the rule's written, it says not less than 1 mile or greater than 6 miles unless approved by the commission.
With the route, we don't really have a width. We just have a line.
The center line.
And
well, you have to kind of consider whatever the right-of-way is.
Much narrower than
a mile.
Than a mile.
But because the basin filed their application for 6 miles, we'll need a request or agreement from the company to do less than six.
Let's get an agreement from
them. And that's part of, I think, what we'll talk about on Friday when they come up here. Cause
I can't imagine that they'll have a problem with that.
No, it didn't sound like
because
it.
I'd have a problem with a six-mile corridor.
They just want to build their line.
That any construction, any energy construction from this point forward could be done on.
One thought on how wide.
A lot of brand new pumping stations you can put within 6 miles.
Yeah, they've got that right.
The line that runs between Williston and Stanley.
You'd like a little bit of room in there, though, to give them, if they run into a rock or something and have to move a pole, then they can still be in the corridor.
But we're easy about that anyway.
So,
but let's, if you gentlemen don't mind, hang tight for a second, Jerry. I want to step back here for a minute. So the corridor, the way that the law was written, some would argue that they're trying to open up a corridor, so once they get it defined, they can use it for future growth. But if
without having to come before us again.
Right, but they still wouldn't they still have to come back for the permit to do whatever they're going to, the corridor would be okay, but the actual plan itself, wouldn't that still have to come back in front of us?
They'd have to just, under the law, certify to the commission that they're not harming any exclusion or avoidance areas or whatever the specific language is.
Okay.
But even if it would be a jurisdictional facility, if they want to throw another 230 kV in that 6 miles, the way this law is written, they could, as long as they say we're not harming any exclusion or avoidance areas.
But on the other side of the coin, though, is if the company did do due diligence in that whole corridor, what would be wrong with leaving that whole? So we need to maybe put that in, from my opinion, put that information out there that if you want to do a corridor once, and then you can come do more growth in that, so you cut down on future costs. That's not a bad thing. But they've got to make that decision perhaps up front.
And we need to make sure in looking at that 6 miles that there isn't anything of concern in there that we want to, carve out.
Right.
And that's the problem.
And it bothered me.
And we didn't look through that prior to the law going into effect because it wasn't
that record because they didn't think they had to.
Sure.
It but we've never required it. Yeah.
But in our future cases, which...
We need to take a tougher look at that corridor.
Then you've got landowners that weren't involved in the route, and all of a sudden they've opened up
that's
their
right.
Hole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's
yeah.
In the corridor.
Sure.
It can get ugly.
Yeah.
But I still would like...
What about some of our wind farms? You could site an entire wind farm within 6 miles of, you know, that's maybe run 10 mile wide and 6 miles north-south. And
then in the future, put turbines as many as you wanted wherever.
Or a nuclear plant or a coal plant. Or I mean,
yeah.
Without siting it.
So that's out there. We have one other line.
Minnesota Power one?
The Elite, yeah.
Elite.
And I did visit with them a little bit, too, and so we'll try and work something there.
I think Brian's point, though, you know, if they want to meet a higher standard in a broader area, but things do change.
That's a heck of a sighting case.
But that would be one heck of a sighting case. That would be... but they may be doing, they may do more intense 1 mile corridors as opposed to 6 mile corridors.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's not... Like says, there are some efficiencies depending on what they plan to do in the future.
I don't think it's our role to get crosswise with getting the legislative intent. They wanted it to open up something, so okay, whatever a company wants to do, let them make that choice up front and then follow through on it.
They did set a 350-foot from the center line rule for projects that were grandfathered before the Siting Act so that there would never have been a corridor or a permit given to them. I think their intent there was that you can put stuff within 350 feet of those lines. A line parallel in the same line is.
I think they're also thinking about reroutes if they wanted to move to have some discretion.
But anyway, for some reason or other, they came up with 350 feet on either side. So that's more like a 700 foot wide corridor. So anyway, should we go on with the order?
Yeah.
Yep.
So we've got preliminary statement. And we get to the findings of the fact. There's three.
Mm-hmm.
And first couple, two there are pretty routine. The third one, I pulled out information about Western substations and what that they were doing in there. I thought that wasn't even in our case, really. And MDU was doing similar work on their Tioga substation. Okay. We're not jurisdictional to Western. And
sure.
So all that I took out. Following the standard stuff down through here in four. Basin's going to own it, 61 mile long, located in Montreal and Williams County. Total cost is $24 million estimated. Proposed line will be designed to meet the National Electric Safety Code.
I have a question. Was the changing Basin Electric to just Basin, was that your idea or your idea or theirs?
Do you want it to say Basin Electric instead?
No, it doesn't. I was just curious.
We had called them Basin Electric in the previous order, too. I don't think it matters. It
doesn't matter to me. It's just, I was just...
paper.
I like it.
Sorry. So we're getting down to seven now, and they're going to use galvanized steel single-pole structures. Typically 100 foot tall. It just describes the pole, and that the ones that aren't angle structures will just be buried directly into the ground. Angle structures will need a concrete foundation with them. Eight, there'll be a three phase line. Describe the conductors a little bit. 125 foot right away.
Jerry, where do they put in here the, during the hearing it was, there was X amount of landowners affected and, you know, 90-some percent agreed and some didn't. Where does it talk about the landowners that, that were okay with it and address the concerns of the ones that weren't?
We don't have anything in here on that. I can expand that a little
bit. I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. I mean, we go through an effort of saying all these folks were contacted, and we don't highlight the fact that others were contacted. I mean, how do we pick and choose which ones we put in there? And how do we address the fact of not everybody was agreement with it?
We only put in the agencies and the tribes.
So it's agency level?
Yeah. Well, and I think the agencies are definitive because they had signed 90% of the easements as of the time of the hearing. They may have signed more by now.
Well, the only point I was just getting to is that I know we're never going to have 100%. I understand that. But kind of like to know an update of where we were at, and I don't think we asked them, or I asked them that day, was hoping they would submit the folks that didn't come on board what their reasoning was. I mean, I don't know if that's something that the commission's ever done before. Or, you know, when you get to 95%, you figure that it would be nice for me to know personally what's the holdup of the other ones, what it was they didn't like.
I mean, what they testified to at the hearing was that they had 102 landowners and they've signed easements with 92 of them, and we could put language in that says Basin testified that they have 102 landowners and as of the date of the hearing had signed 90.2% or 92 of those.
I'm trying to recall if we had any landowners stand up at the hearing.
No, we didn't. We didn't. I think, just back up a second, I'm not saying we should put it in. I'm just trying to get some discussion of what we've done in the past, because as we do all these sightings around, you know, is there a trend that develops between the different projects of why people don't want it? If they just don't want it because they don't want a power line, that's one thing. If there's something that else that we're missing, how would we get that feedback short of them testifying? If we make the assumption that nobody comes and testifies, then it's not as relevant. I don't know.
Well, you know, keep in mind we don't intrude on the negotiation between the landowner and the company. So, you know, we can make assumptions, and they're not always going to be real open to sharing information with us because they might be in a negotiation with one of these last 10. And so, but it's a curious question, but I don't know. We've never really.
That's why I'm asking it, because if after the line is built, somebody comes and says, well, we never had a chance. With, yes, you had your chance. You had it at the hearing. And so that becomes our position on when that was their opportunity. If they chose not to do it then, that's kind of it's on their dime. And I can follow through on that logic, but I'm sure not the first time that this has come up.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, no. It's the landowner's responsibility to bring a concern to the commission. Now, whether it's something we can act on in an order or not, I guess, you know, it depends on what the concern is.
No, we have. I mean, we have.
Because I'm not saying this case particularly. Just, you know, you get theories where there's so much development going on in the state that, well, you either sign this now or, you know, we're just going to get just coming through anyway. Well, you get a lot of those trends around the state. You don't know if they're warranted or not, but it would be nice to just at least have some feedback, if appropriate, of what the concerns were for those people that didn't agree to
did
it.
Did we ask that question?
I asked the question.
Usually that's a question that gets asked, if there are some.
The answer, I believe, was, well, we'll give you the updated number as we get closer to the work session, so here we are.
I suspect if negotiations are going really badly, we would hear from landowners now. The fact that they haven't signed may not in and of itself be anything like actionable by us in a siting hearing. But
so when does the process?
Usually transmission companies don't want it to like be aired publicly. They'd rather.
But I guess that's maybe the question I'm getting to then is that, okay, if you have one landowner that's against it and it's going across his or her land, they can't. There's got to be some process that allows them to do that. By us issuing that order, does that give them the authority to put it across, or then they have to come back at a separate point?
Well, it's a two-step process. I mean, the utility couldn't build it without our certificate.
Right.
But merely having a certificate doesn't give them authority to cross land that they don't have an easement on.
Correct.
Only that can be done by a court through eminent domain.
Okay. So that's the step that I was trying to see what role we had in that.
But the actual, like, physical access to someone else's property is is eminent domain, and only a court can order that.
As a
If a court came back and said, we're not granting eminent domain for whatever reason, then that line wouldn't get built on that property.
That's the part that I was a little unclear with, is if by us doing this that we somehow strengthen their hand to do something.
Well, as a matter of negotiation, it probably does. I mean, as a practical matter, it probably does. There is not a direct tie. Right.
Exactly.
Right. There is no direct tie that says you now have to give us condemnation or you do now have to give us eminent domain because we have this. And this one, we're not jurisdictional to the company, we're citing, so there's not even a PCNN or anything like that.
Right.
But just as a matter of history, though, it might be helpful. I mean, we did, in citing the 60-mile Barnes County to Maple Valley, Maple River line, we did have landowners that came and didn't want it and buy their place. And as a result, our initial order excluded their land, as I recall, and we did another hearing to consider a different route and successfully did that. And
okay.
So, it's best for the landowner if they stand up when they have their opportunity.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We even, in the basin transmission line in Bowman County, we moved it.
That's
a little
right.
bit too, based on landowner concerns on a diagonal.
Yeah,
So is it appropriate? Let me rephrase that. I'd like to just to get an updated number of where they're at, and then because what's the dent here? We work through this. How soon were they hopeful to get something? On
if they can order by the end of January.
Yeah. They want to get their stuff together, material ordered, stuff like that.
Okay.
And if they do have some.
But we have to work through
all the other stuff.
That's a statute change issue, too.
Yep.
So I think there's time to ask them for an updated number if you want to see one.
Just out of curiosity.
We haven't heard from landowners.
We haven't heard anything from anybody. But I just, not in this, it's other parts of the state where I'm hearing lots of things. It's not the northwestern part, particularly at all, any on this route at all.
Well, the Minn-Kota line.
The only place that negotiations, and this came up in the Keystone one, so I don't know that it's come up, Brian, since you've been on a case, but there is the opportunity for the commission to consider how a utility company or whoever a land agent is procuring easements as part of a siting case, but it's only if a court orders it be put in the record. So it's there's a statute that says if a landowner feels like he or she's been negotiated in bad faith with the utility company, fraud, misrepresentation, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, sort of like undue influence or pressuring, kind of bad faith tactics. Then it's what, two or more landowners or five or more?
It might be more than two. I'm thinking it's 10. Yeah,
10? Okay. If a group of landowners.
It's kind of a high standard.
It's a fairly high standard. But if a group of landowners say, I mean, these guys are just been bad actors, they can go to a court. It's five? Okay. So these five landowners can go to a court, petition a judge to order that information be placed in the siting case record.
Sure.
I don't know if it's ever happened in state history, but that's fine.
It would be worth avoiding if you're a company.
Yeah, it would.
Okay.
So that's the deterrent. I mean, it wouldn't look good. I can't imagine. And then the commission can act on it. We can vacate an existing siting case, I think. We found that it was easements were obtained in bad faith.
And the easements are canceled.
Okay.
So we'll get an update.
Yep.
So, okay. And I got that note down. So now we're on to 13. And that's a standard paragraph. And so is 14. Evaluated corridor within 6 miles. 20.
Back to, I guess, what is that? I mean, it goes back to our initial point, but when you say evaluated, what is that? That doesn't tell us what we need. I mean, if we're going to evaluate the whole corridor for 6 miles, they do all the work, then that's then open to future growth. But we maybe have to change that.
I expect the number 19, there will be some more stuff inserted in that area when we after we meet.
Right. They may say, like, basin evaluated a corridor width of 6 miles, however,
yeah.
Basin accedes to receiving a blah, blah, you know, corridor of whatever.
Yeah.
But if you look at their application, they, I mean, this is all their corridor. Evaluation.
So if they did evaluate the whole 6 miles, why would they want to shrink it down? Right, but that's
because a corridor evaluation isn't as intense as the route evaluation.
Right, but if okay, knowing the state law is what it is, we would perhaps require more thorough investigation of the corridor than is provided right now, knowing that it could mean.
But route evaluation is more stringent than corridor evaluation.
Because
right.
The permit is a little
specific.
More, yeah.
But then eventually, if they are going to do it that way, those two would have to be equal to get them what they're going to.
That would
to.
Be that. That's a
well, or they'd be more like each other.
Well, and I think under the Siting Act, the way it was originally written, it was supposed to be a two-step process, and we
yeah,
were supposed
right.
to do a corridor evaluation
first,
issue
and
issue that, and then come back and put the route in the corridor.
Well, that's and there's nothing that says we couldn't require companies to.
No, part of this
do
order
that,
is
yeah,
which is why we're using our discretion in consolidating the application.
See, I mean, it's probably for a separate discussion, but I like the idea of companies doing a whole corridor and doing all this work, and it's done with, so we get all of our development responsible, not have stuff willy-nilly all over the state.
Oh, this will be corridors all over the state.
Yeah, this will be always 6 miles corridors.
I don't think it would end up that way. I think they would have a few corridors to get fully developed, and that's where most of the development would go into. You wouldn't be having a bunch of corridors. You'd have
well, that's a little
six or eight corridors.
Yeah, you're right. But the we just have to raise the standard. For the corridor.
And maybe not grant an automatic waiver like we have been.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, we talked about before when it was written, it would be better to have a wider corridor because that way you have more options when it comes
within
to
the you're right.
Value.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's to yes.
But if you're doing it at the same time, it doesn't make much sense to have a wider corridor.
No, because you're literally micro-siting the corridor along with the route.
Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine the public outcry if folks figured out that by permitting a 6 mile wide corridor that they probably didn't even know about,
yep.
That now anybody can come in for all time and build whatever they want basically just by certifying that it's not hitting an exclusion or avoidance area.
Yeah. Your right to attend a hearing is
now
but
never
if
more
but if you're
gone.
Having a hearing on a corridor, then you need to get
then
the public involvement.
I think people would approach corridor hearings a lot differently, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brian's use of the term corridor is a little different than this.
I think so.
Right. Yeah.
You're talking about a larger planning corridor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Say, on 20, and I picked it up in 22, 29, and 30. There may be other spots that I missed, but they use that word substantial.
Yeah.
And I think we've been trying to get away from that.
Uh-huh. Too, and so I'll go through and do a search and all the substantials out of there.
Okay.
Okay, that was the exclusion avoidance criteria. And some in the corridor in the forms of the small parks and stuff around in the Williston area. Cities of Tyburn are avoided.
But then that language will change depending how the route corridor length ends up. Perhaps.
Oh, true.
Some of the stuff
right?
comes out of the corridor.
If we don't narrow down the corridor, then some of this language in 23 will probably change.
Yeah, that stuff comes out of the corridor.
Well, yeah, although this is still the proposed corridor in the findings. I mean, you know, I mean
that's
that one
true.
One finding might be that these are all in the proposed corridor. The another finding might be, you know, in the eventual corridor. It's they're no longer there. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But our record so far is built on a 6 mile corridor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
for rare and unique resources. There was different species and stuff like that identified as possibly occurring in the corridor. They haven't had any actual nesting areas or anything like that identified along the proposed route. They're going to use bird-safe designs for raptor, avoid raptor electrocution. In addition, they'll do bird deflectors wherever the western biologist determines that they're needed. 25, there are no rural businesses or residences within 500 feet of the proposed route. 26, wetland delineation was conducted. No permanent wet packs. Wetland are anticipated to be impacted. Class 3 surveys were done. They did find a few, quite a few actually, Class 3 results. They're avoiding those spots. None of them were available. Were found eligible for historic places registry.
I have a question for you, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Going way back to number 12. When it talks about a federal environmental assessment is being prepared for the project. Okay. And so that'll have some outcomes. And but then we go to like 26 and we say that no permanent impacts to the wetlands are anticipated and we're drawing conclusions, but they haven't completed their EA yet. How did those two reconcile?
We haven't found any in the wetland delineation that we do. I would expect that they're using that same data in the EA.
Okay. So they're going to feed that into that larger piece, okay.
So the EA comes back and they're concerns that we didn't find. And
the EA is a, you know, I mean, this whole order is contingent on all those filings, so.
Yeah, the two, our application and the EA application, they all kind of come together with the same.
But we follow the format. For those that don't have the EA, we still need to hit these benchmarks along the way. Makes sense.
There you go, 28. There's 148 archaeological sites in the corridor from the Class 1, which is the record search.
This might be another area where we need to add something about the reduction of the corridor, especially in regards to the requested waivers versus what we're be approving. Okay.
Yeah, there is
under number 7.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there is language in our administrative code that allows us to approve it. Brings us down to the ordering paragraph, and everything is pretty standard there. I noticed after I put this out and was thinking about it that we probably could have mentioned the EA in number 5 specifically. We have in some other cases, so I'd probably add that they'll file the EA and the resulting
PA that much more distinctive, or that it would be, we would mention it by name, or have, is that our tradition, or it makes
it's
sense
like
to me that
in
it
my
would.
Mind it's another permit.
Yeah,
it's but not really a permit. It's like a permit. They're not going to be able to start construction until they get a thought of a significant impact. So
I kind of it doesn't hurt to put it in there because it's kind of like a validation of previous research done at the lower level that
mm-hmm. we made a finding.
They have a tendency to not.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the called Kramer and Clark. It's the K's, C's is very confusing. And Chris's first name is with a K, isn't it? How many times has that flipped her
all the time.
It's right in the beginning. It's just
the Cosmo Kramer spelling.
That's right.
And I think they're okay if it's not on the 13th, if it's on
it
the week after that.
It might have to go on the next one because sure. I'm out of town next that week for CARP. And
okay. We'll do what we can do.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Thanks. There's nothing further. We'll close the work session.